Today we've got an interesting show. The subject of the show is your lifelong dog and how he relates to you and you to him. The author of the book we're going to discuss today, Let Your Dog Lead, is Michael Overly. He is a lifelong dog fanatic. He has had a gift of connecting with animals since he was a small child. Dogs have been with him most of his life, giving him gifts and teaching him lessons. His greatest breakthrough was after the death of his brother. While grieving this loss, he was fully awakened to his own potential and the gifts our animals bring into our lives. Now he helps other men awaken to the gifts available to them from their dogs, often healing parts of themselves suffering from PTSD. He has dedicated himself to assisting men and their dogs discover their path to living a life of purpose, being extraordinary, remembering. This is Michael's purpose, his mission on earth. From helping save lives in a trauma center to doing energy healing work with people and animals, Michael's love for life shines through. He is trained in multiple energy healing modalities and infuses spiritual energy into everything he teaches, providing a safe space for healing and growth to occur. He knows what your dog is trying to show you, to teach you. Come join them on a powerful expedition of finding you, remembering who you are. Michael, it's nice to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, sir. So very nice to be here. What an honor.
So when did you start writing your book?
It took a couple years. It turns out that I was writing something that wasn't in alignment with myself. And I got through quite a bit and realized I was not writing the correct book. So I kind of scrapped it and started over, and the process seemed to be a lot more flowing after that. It was much easier once I got on the right path.
Well, you know, they talk about writer's block. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I've had times when I didn't seem to be able to produce anything, and when a little time went by, I was able to get back in the saddle. Well, why don't you set up the book for our audience and tell them what it's like, a mini book report.
Oh, I haven't done a book report in a long time.
Well, that's all right. Something new every day.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So the book, and the ultimate Cliff Notes version on this is that it's an invitation for men to live differently if they're wanting to. If you're willing to look at some of the parts of yourself maybe that haven't been shining examples of who you thought you were, you can get through a lot of things if you want to look at things maybe a different way. And for some of us who have been lucky enough to have some phenomenal animals in our lives, this book helps you start to notice things differently, utilizing, you know, that four-legged love generator sitting there right next to you. So, and it asks a lot of you, and it's not something that most people can just sit and just read like a novel. There's a lot of stuff in there that I put in about myself about being vulnerable, because I think we have to be able to be honest. Now, we're so afraid of what other people think of us that I think this is actually a great skill to work on, and this helps us in so many ways. So working through these things, understanding other perceptions, and starting to find out who you really are is what this book is about.
And you think that one of the better ways of doing that is in a relationship with your dog.
For some of us, yeah, it's not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. But for someone who has an extremely tight bond with that animal, there's something else there. That dog has access to that guy that a lot of people don't. You know, other people in that person's life, you know, their spouse or partner, it could be their parents. They may not have the same kind of access to, let's say, a more heartfelt or softer side of this man than that dog does. And that is like the ultimate entry point for us to start to do some work.
How do you advise people to relate to the dog to get the most out of what the dog has to give you?
Well, that does actually depend on the individual. You know, just like every human relationship is different, every relationship with the dog is different. But there are reasons, I believe, that a certain animal has entered your life. Now, that's a tough one for people to grasp. So I would start with some questions. You know, what was going on in your life at the time when the dog came to you? What have been some of the, you know, maybe more difficult or pivotal things in your life since you've had that dog, and how did having that dog actually assist you getting through that situation or traumatic event? You know, these are things we do not think of. The dog's just there, but we don't actually stop and say, oh, I wonder how this dog's actually helping me get through this.
Well, you've had more than one dog in your life. Tell us a story about at least one of your dogs that you think would make a point toward what you've been talking about.
Okay. When I was previously married, I had a black lab by the name of Miles, and he was just hilarious. He was a goofball. But he had this habit of finding ways to escape the yard, escape the house. We'd take him, you know, somewhere else with us, and he would try and escape that yard as well. At the time, I didn't realize what was going on. I thought he was just being, you know, being a funny dog. And when my relationship, you know, really failed, it was time for me to go. I somehow kind of got that message. After I left that relationship, he stopped trying to escape the yard.
So he was telling you in his own way that you needed to make a change?
Yeah, I think he was telling me it was time to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were your other dogs?
He was my third dog. My first dog was Sage. That dog very much helped me get through some traumatic events in my younger life that I was struggling with. The divorce of my parents, my brother becoming paralyzed, he was there. And he provided the sense of stability, not just in a constant companion, but he was actually helping me heal from some of these things because I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to express myself. And he gave me something more than I think just talk therapy was able to give me at the time.
Okay. Now, you sort of talked about PTSD. How does that relate to your book?
So it's interesting because I didn't use the letters PTSD or necessarily trauma in the book because that wasn't the primary focus. And after I wrote the book, I realized, well, there's some things that definitely could have been called a traumatic event. And, due to some of the levels of my anxiety as I got older, I realized, oh, maybe this does actually tie right back into that. So the dogs have such a calming effect that was something that I've needed throughout because I didn't realize that I was able to try and understand why I was feeling a certain way, what was causing me to have this anxiety and feel like that I wasn't enough. And throughout, these different dogs were showing me that, hey, you're fine just the way you are. We got you. You're good to go. But let's stay together and get this figured out. And depending on the relationship at the time and the dog, they gave me different things, or maybe I just noticed different things and was able to move forward quite a bit. And I'm still growing.
Well, in the last year or so, many people have isolated themselves, stayed at home a lot more than they used to. And the result of that, they've developed various degrees of anxiety, some of which can be profound. But I would think, and I'm going to ask you, having that dog there by your side would ameliorate the anxiety to a great extent. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, science has already proven some of the physiological benefits of owning a dog. You know, you have decreased blood pressure. You have decreased cortisol levels, which, you know, are fight or flight response hormones that get, but people's adrenals actually start to relax. They have this other being with them. Now, is it just a pure distraction of having something else to look after or care for or put your attention on? I think that might be part of it. Spiritually, I think it's something else entirely. And I think the dogs bring us a lot of gifts.
What do you think about how dogs help a person with depression?
That's a great question. So let's go back to there's something that I believe underlies a lot of these things for us in the human condition and why we struggle with so many areas of our lives. And I think that's a message that we get somehow when we're young, that we're not enough. You know, mother, father, teacher, preacher, they all tell us different ways to be as we start to grow. And then as we get older, we may have, you know, a boss or a coworker or a friend or, you know, a spouse. And each one of them has a different expectation of who we need to be. And I think over time, unless we have a healthier sense of who we are, we start to trust what everybody else tells us in that manner, right? They all know who I must be, so I must listen to them. And I think this contributes greatly to the amount of depression that we have in our country. So the dogs can just be there. They're not expecting anything from you. They're not telling you how to be. There's no, you know, supposed judgment going on. A dog is just there telling you that you are enough with them in that moment, no matter what.
This relates to a significant extent about what I've written over the years about addiction. And my philosophy is that all addiction is caused by low self-esteem and lack of spiritual consciousness. That low self-esteem quite often develops from parents and other people in your lives telling you you're not good enough. And if you hear something like that repeated enough, you're going to believe it. So when we put dog into the equation, dog is never going to tell you you're not good enough. And so you'll have something to counterbalance those times when parents or children or society tries to make you think that you're not good enough, that you have to do something different to be good enough. Have I hit that pretty good?
Absolutely. Yeah, I concur 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating how you know, over time these messages become more important than what we see in ourselves. It's absolutely fascinating. But you're right. I believe low self-esteem and spiritual disconnection contribute to so many things we see.
Now, in your material that you sent me, you had a statement, dogs and men, a bond that goes beyond. Now, I think initially you left women out of the equation. Did you do that on purpose, or can a dog and a woman have a similar bond?
Oh, I absolutely believe they can. Here's the main difference as I see it, and from my understanding and everything that I've looked into, is women are more frequently able to have a different type of relationship with a friend, or even their mother maybe, or whatever the case is, but with someone else that they can actually be able to express and share things that are a lot more deep in general than men are willing to share with each other. And part of that is how they're raised. It's okay. It's acceptable. You know, they can have their feelings, and it's acceptable for them to cry. It's acceptable for them to express certain things. Most men are not raised that way. And so, you know, some of these guys, they get this dog, and they have this incredible deep connection with this other living being. And there's, like I said before, there's no expectation. There's no judgment. They somehow intrinsically know that they're just accepted, period. And that is huge. Now, I think that some women have that too, but I think it's more prevalent in men because we're not able to establish those deeper relationships and not able to express ourselves.
And then when you look at society, you see that women have much more relationships with cats. And maybe not just one cat, but multiple cats. I don't know, you know, what the difference is and the importance and the difference, but I do know that there is a difference between the relationship of a man and his dog and a woman and her cats. So I just bring that up, but I don't really have anywhere to go with that. But
yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think cats as a species are more independent, and I think maybe, you know, a lot of women like that. They like that for sure. I know a lot of people women who love dogs too, but for men, they want something that they can, you know, bond with, cuddle with, play with, rough and tumble with, maybe, you know, go do goofy stuff with. Go places with, and then for the female cat lovers, it's not necessarily the same. So, and I may be overgeneralizing, but that's how I see it.
Yeah. Well, now you have a chapter in your book called 1 Degree Shifts. I want you to explain what a 1 degree shift is, why it's important, and maybe you could list some 1 degree shifts so that our listeners can get an idea of what you're writing about in this chapter.
Oh, absolutely. And this is not an original idea. This is not mine. This was actually presented to me by a woman named Charlotte Jacobs, and she and her husband help coaches and holistic practitioners build their businesses. And she presented this concept in a talk she gave, and I thought it was the most fabulous thing I'd heard in like a very long time. So the 1 degree shift just means you take a small bit of a change. So let's look at New Year's resolutions. People say, oh, I'm going to change this about myself. I'm going to change that. They make these gigantic changes in their life. You know, I'm going to go to the gym every day, 5 days a week, for however long, forever. And it, you know, after a while, it starts dropping off because it's not a sustainable type of change. You know, let's say you're 53 years old. It took you 53 years to get that way that you are today. So expecting yourself to make a gigantic switch in your life is probably not a great idea. It's not sustainable. If you can make a small shift, right, if we look at a circle, 360 degrees, you're not going to go 180 degrees because it's not going to work for you. It will not last. We can't go on willpower alone. But if I can move 1 degree on that compass, do that for a little bit, you know, that's a whole lot more comfortable. It's a whole lot more manageable, and it gives me a little confidence. Now I can move 1 more degree, and you do this. You do this gradual. You don't try and do it overnight. And after a little bit of time, you realize, oh my gosh, I've made some incredible changes. So,
okay, so I understand what you're saying, but give us a specific example of a 1 degree change, which might lead to another 1 degree change.
Okay. So let's say you have to drive to work. You know, you commute every day. Most of us take the exact same route every day. We change lanes in about the same place. We stay in the right lane for this many blocks before we get to the light. We do this. So making a small shift could be as little as staying in the other lane until the last minute, or taking a completely different route to work. You know, leave yourself enough time so you're not late. But you just you have the same end goal, but you may apply your direction in a different manner. So you could even start just by brushing your teeth with the other hand, flossing your teeth in a different direction. So it's just these tiny little things that get us out of these locked-in habits. It breaks a pattern in our thinking, and we start to realize that I can do something different, and I'm safe.
Okay. And that would, if you did this, and you did it often, frequently, what do you think is the final effect on you?
Over time, I think you're much more willing to take a little more risk and realize that you can do something and you're okay, you're safe. We so badly do not want to be uncomfortable. We do everything we can not to feel something. I think we're more afraid of the thought of the feeling than an actual event. But if we can do something that we're not used to, or that we, you know, it's not in our pattern or prescription, we can do that one little thing and realize, hey, I'm okay. I can do something else. Oh my gosh, I look back. I've done all these things. This is great. What else can I do? So you begin to see possibilities as opposed to problems.
That reminds me, Confucius said, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. That's pretty similar to what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
In a way. And so you can't bite off everything with one bite. You have to take a little piece of it, succeed at that, and then take another chunk and keep doing it.
Yes. Yes. I saw a wonderful visual recently. I want to say it was last month. It was an image of two, like, you know, people stick figures standing at the bottom of these extremely tall ladders, you know, that went up hundreds of feet. The ladder on the right had the person standing there looking up, but the first rung was like 10 feet in the air. And then the next rung was another 10 feet. The next rung was another 10 feet. The ladder on the left, there was a rung every foot.
Well, we know which ladder it would make more sense to climb.
Exactly. The big leaps and bounds are just not manageable for long-term growth.
You have a coaching practice, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You would like people to sign up for. Tell us about that. How do they sign it up for it, and what do they get from it? Or do you have this information on your website or someplace where you can explain what your coaching is about?
Yeah. So, no, it's a great question. So my coaching is individually tailored because, you know, we're all different. We have all got an accumulation of life experiences that are unlike anyone else's. So it makes sense to me that what you and I talk about and deal with and work on may be different than what than the gentleman over here on the right-hand side. So it starts with a discussion, an in-depth discussion as to what this person wants, needs, what they think they want and need, and we can get in there and dig a little bit and find out what may actually be what they want versus what they thought someone else told them they wanted. So the whole thing starts with a discussion. If someone wants to sign up, then we can go from there. But I also offer an online course. The book is out. I'm going to be doing another course. And I'm actually putting on a summit for those who may want to learn more about myself and other ways to address some of those situations. There's a summit. It's going to be March 18th and 19th that we're putting on.
Okay. Your website, you want them to go over there and look at that, dogsandmen.com?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they can go there, and I'll be posting things about the summit upcoming. I'm just in the early stages of getting this thing produced, so haven't put any information about it on the site yet. But, yeah, they can go over there and take a look. There's a link to the book, information about the course, information about the coaching. It's super simple, and there's no upsells or click funnels or any of that kind of stuff. But I just want to be able to help some folks, and if it resonates with you, then that's wonderful.
Your book is called Let Your Dog Lead. I assume the easiest way to get it is Amazon?
Yes, sir. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There is a Kindle version on Amazon as well.
Mike, you sent me in your package a couple of little cards, and one of them has on there, Creating Men of Purpose, Life Purpose Coaching. Is that what you do?
That's how I like to think of it, absolutely. It's interesting. A lot of people think that maybe they should be doing something completely different. Maybe there was this other calling they feel they missed. And it could be as simple as they're not recognizing the amazing things they're already doing in their life. Maybe they're unhappy in one place of their life, and they think that is negatively affecting what they thought they should be. And with some guys, we find out that they're actually really, really doing fantastic where they're at. But their perception of themselves, the perspective on their life, is what needed to change. So they find their own purpose in already doing the fantastic things they're doing. So it's not that everybody has to be, you know, like a Richard Branson or a, Jeff Bezos or whatever. Their purpose may actually be where they're already at. So, which I think is fantastic.
I was thinking that a life purpose is one of the biggest things that you can accomplish in a life that would change it in the largest respect. And I've been talking that for many years now, a life purpose can keep you out of the throes of addiction. And we're not just talking about drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. Most of the common addictions don't have anything to do with that. I would imagine that one of the most common addictions would be overusing the internet and gaming and social media. Another popular one is overeating. And so there's about 30 that I try to help people with. And my book, which currently is what I'm using to explain this, how you can stop having bad things happen in your life from one of these 30-something different addictive behaviors, is called Freedom from Addiction 3. Now, that's, of course, is available on Amazon.com. But I don't want you to go over there and buy it. And one of the reasons that I don't is because it was published by a company who has, for all practical purposes, gone out of business, except for the fact that they are getting the royalties and not passing them on to me as the author. And so I see this as a kind of a dead-end street. And the way that I'm resolving the problem is by writing a new book, Freedom from Addiction 4, The Final Message. And I would rather you wait on that one, which we will be telling you about. I'm in the final stage before publishing, and it ought to be available any day now. So look for Freedom from Addiction 4. Don't buy Freedom from Addiction 3. So 4 has a few more extras in it. And if you will tell your friends, associates, family to listen to my podcast, which is what we're doing right now, the address is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. You spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, and there'll be no caps and no spaces. And tell them to go listen to this free podcast as often as they have time. I've done thousands of segments, and they can review in the archives hundreds of different programs that either deal with addiction or purpose in life or getting the truth of things, the truth that lies just below the surface. So I would hope that you would be able to do that and tell your friends about Mike's program, and he will be right there in the lineup for you to listen to it whenever you go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Mike, it's been great having you on the show today, telling us about your book and your coaching and how dogs can really make a difference in your life. And I honor the fact of what you're doing because it is really important. Most people don't think that because they don't really think about the more subtle things that dogs can do if you attach a relationship to them, which is a give-and-take relationship between the two parties. So, Mike, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we end for the day?
Two things. One, whoever's listening, whether you believe it or not, you are enough. Whatever your situation is, whatever in life happened along the way, it doesn't define you. And you are enough. You're beautiful. You're loved. And you're safe. The other thing is I'm super grateful to be on, and I'm honored. And thank you so much for your time.
Well, it was nice to have you on the program today.